about learning, about worship, about serving, and the list could be long and exhaustive, but how the ever, we do want to recognize that it's all because of you. We can do nothing apart from you, and we're not even going to try. We're going to commit our way again, and Lord, we're going to reevaluate who we are in you. And Lord, we know that you desire to be in us, and Lord, you offer us to be in you. And so, God, we thank you again, and we bless our neighbor, our friend, and even the stranger. And God, again, open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts to be fertile ground. Thank you, Lord, for these and those who share with us through our media outlet. And we certainly, God, pray that they will settle down now and pay attention to what is being said for the next hour. And certainly, God, we pray that our own disciples will get up from their slumbering places and rush on down to the house of God, for there is a word from the Lord. So, God, again, forgive us of our sins and have mercy, we do pray. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right. God bless you. I want to share something with you again. Some of you come on Wednesdays and Thursdays and stuff like that. But this came into my hands, and this is really kind of shaking the preacher in a good way. But there's a statement here I want to get to in a minute. But I really believe that I want to say this, and again, I don't intend to insult anybody. But yesterday I was invited to do a workshop for an association, one of our local associations. I won't call their name, but they have 20 churches in that association. 20. They had 10 people show up at a workshop. Only two of them were pastors. 20 churches, 10 people. Two pastors. Yeah. And what it made me think about is just what we're talking about. I'm going to read that statement. But they invited me to do a security and preventive measures workshop, which was, and then the other guy, Pastor Whitfield, drove all the way from Martinsville to do discipleship, which is, right where we are. And I really thought about, this is the evidence that we see. And Lewis and I just got to talk about it, and Starling was standing at the door. If we don't want to be disciples, that's a choice. It really is. The other side of that is, if you want to be a disciple, that's a choice. But whichever one you make, you're going to have to stick to it. And the church is in a crisis. People say what they want to. And it's not all the pastor's fault. Because we pastor people. We don't hold people hostage. We don't lock you up and then cattle you out. When I was in the military, we had an advantage, and Brother Thomas understands this as well. We could load soldiers up on a truck, dudes in half, cattle car, and say, go. And they had to go. We can load them up and don't tell them where they're going, but they had to get on that truck. And we had provisions in place in the military called mismovement, dereliction of duty, and we could penalize people. We can't do that in the church. We don't have formations and count off and all that kind of stuff. We are led to believe that those who made choices about Christ are going to keep those choices as a commitment. And so I thought about that yesterday, and I said to one of the preachers and I stood out in the hot sun for about an hour and a half after the workshop was over, and just talking about, what are we going to do? How are we going to have the church ready when he comes? When the church ain't never around to get ready. So there's a lot to be done. And this is all the evidence, because I asked those questions wound up with three preachers to stand there and talk. And I said, how Sunday school, church school, Christian academy, whatever you're calling it, going? And the answer was, Rudy, it's thin. So what about, Sunday worship? It's up. How's the tithe and offering? And that's where we are. And so part of what what we got to look at is the again, we had it up for a couple of weeks, and we're probably going to swing around there again and again and again, is the commission. Of all the things Jesus did, it was about the commission. When Jesus was on his way back to the Father and getting ready to set the church, he didn't stand there and say, now remember, you got to turn water into wine. He didn't stand there and say, you got to go out and keep, you know, bringing sight to the blind. I mean, those are really wonderful ministry opportunities, but ministry opportunities stem from having a ministry. You know, he didn't say, hey, don't forget about them fishing loaves. He says, here's what I need you to do. Go and make disciples, teaching them. That's what he said. And he said, I'm with you. I'm with you. I got you. And we have turned the church into everything but go and make disciples. Because if, in fact, the commission is the centerpiece of the church, we have failed miserably. We took what God said and put it on the shelf and said what we wanted to say. That's how we came up with this member thing. He didn't say go make members. Where do we get that from? We take what God says, and if it's too complicated or take up too much of our time, we thin it down. You know, we thin it down, and you know, I thought about this, and I'm like I said, to me, everything is preaching. I like Simple Green. It's a cleaner. And when you buy it, a lot of times Sam's Club, I'm a Sam's Club member, they'll have it with you get the big gallon bottle, and then there's a bottle attached that's already mixed. You know, like, and it's all like $8. But the thing about Simple Green is they encourage you to dilute it. On all of their bottles, there's a little chart on how to make it weaker. In fact, they tell you, don't use this full strength on everything. And that's what we've done in the church. We figured out a way to dilute what should have been used full strength. God gave it to us full strength. He says stuff like, you can do anything. Not if you dilute it. He said, you can speak to things and they got to obey you. We can't talk to our children like that because we're trying to be our children's friend. That's why they don't obey us. Nobody's going to obey you that doesn't respect your authority. We keep diluting it. We have figured out a way. We don't take all that. That should never be said in the church. Because Jesus never looked at anybody and said, oh, don't take all that now. Y'all gone too far. He didn't tell that woman at the well, it don't take all that. He didn't tell Bartimaeus, it don't take all that. And that's when we start saying, oh, you ain't got to do that. That's too much. Oh, you ain't got to go every Sunday. Who wouldn't want to meet Jesus every Sunday? But when we come to boyfriend and the girlfriend and hanging out with our sororities and fraternities and clubs and organizations, I got to be there because I'm this and I'm that. I'll meet, you know, we are in a problematic predicament because we put ourselves there. And the church don't say amen to this kind of stuff. You know, where did Jesus go with it? I bet nobody there walk up to Jesus and say, there he go. And then they might have, I don't know. But anyways, let's go to Luke chapter 7. I want to take that up. So we're going to get started, and then I really want us to get this right, because deliverance requires a dynamic. And within that dynamic is the power to deliver us. But all of this God stuff, all of this kingdom possibility, which is really termed wrong, Rudy, I shouldn't have called it kingdom possibility. It's really about kingdom prophecy. Because he said, this is what you'll be. This is what he said. He said, this is how it ought to look. This is where you can be. This is how you should talk. And I'm telling you, I see you doing it. Prophecy. I told y'all some months ago that we're really going to ease into it, but we really need to look at what real promise or what real potentials are within the fact that we have been prophesied. Prophecy ought to encourage us, you know. In fact, if you go back, if you think about it, when you were younger, people were prophesying into your life. When they said stuff like, when you grow up, you're going to be, or when you grow up, you can do. Oh, I see you going. I see you with a wife. I see you with a husband. They were, and you know, they weren't trying to speak in tongues or anything. They were really just trying to use prophecy to encourage you. Even when they ask you, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? You had to think and kind of look at that little video. There's a movie I saw some time ago. It's a silly little movie. It's called Mrs. Peregrine's House for Unique Personality, something weird. Yeah, these kids got little gifts. But one of the kids has the ability to put a little thing over his eye, and he can video, he can project what he's thinking. It's pretty cool. And, you know, every night they get in the room to watch what he's thinking. The issue that's funny to me is they live the same day every day. But his dreams are not always the same. That, you know, I picked that up from being deeper. Every night they rewind the clock at 3 minutes after nine. The Germans are going to drop a bomb, and Miss Peregrine has to be outside. And you know, they do it, and then, you know, she stops and rewinds. But all, you know, the boy's dreams are not repetitive. They're different. Y'all have, okay, you got to think deeper. Everything else they do is pretty much relived at a given time, but they're not doing the same thing over and over. They're living the same day every day, but they're not doing the same thing over and over. You'll get it. At 9:03, they're going to be outside. And the Germans are going to, and the bomb going to almost hit the house, and she's going to hit the little clock thing, and the clouds are going to go back, and then they'll start, and then they'll start over again. Prophecy is amazing. We can, by the power of God, fulfill prophecy. All you got to do is see it. All you got to do is want it. But it takes something a little bit more. So Luke 7, come down to verse 35. Wisdom is shown, revealed. Look at it. Revealed by the right living. You know, I'm paraphrasing it a little bit, but you can see. It's evidenced by how the wise live. And we're called to be the wise. Let this mind be also in you that is in Christ Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. Think on these things. Use imagination if you have to. That's really what Paul is saying. Paul is saying to the church when he says whatsoever things, and he says, you know, when you get into a situation, change how you think. He says, just at least think about things that are noble. How many of you have ever been in a situation that's not really good and you had to kind of fool yourself? You say, I'm just going to think about positive things. You know, on a rainy day, you think about the sun. When it's cold, you think warm. You know, we used to take soda to the field and it's freezing outside. We had a description for what kind of cold it was. Can't use it here. But it'd be that kind of cold outside. It had something to do with witches and undergarments. But if it was that kind of cold outside, and so we'd tell them, think warm. You know, we'd be in a little form. All right, you're in Florida. It's 85 degrees. You're on the beach. And, you know, every now and then we'd be a little smart. So we'd say, hey, hold up, Sergeant. I'm looking at this girl walk by. You know, stuff like that. You know, but you got a mind that you can do these kind of things. But wisdom is example by those who live it. But it's got to be a righteous kind of living. Here's the kick. God says, I'll give you righteousness. It's imputed to you. I'll give it. See, you don't have to say, God, I lack righteousness. He said, no, I'll give you that. Lord, I feel guilty. I'll justify you. What God is saying is, I'll do all the stuff that I do, but what are you going to do with what I do? I mean, look at the empowerments. Look at the gifts we have. And really, God is looking at us. That's what stewardship is all about. That's one of the words that jumped out at me. We got a steward discipleship life. Because God's not going to cheat us out of anything, but what God is saying is, let me see what you're going to do with what I gave you. You're going to have to come back with accountability. It's no more than what your mama did when she sent you to the store and you brought her back her change. She know how much a bag of flour, a bag of sugar, Now, she may not have been there when they, you know, but when I grew up, they had the old cash register where they punched in the numbers and hit the little thing on the side. She may not have known exactly what it cost, but here's what she knew. I gave you enough, and I got change coming back. Okay, you're missing it. God said, I gave you enough. I know what I sent you to get. But what's she going to bring me back? All of the empowerments were not necessarily about us being selfish, but being servants. And servants were told to go make disciples. And he said, now I got to give you the mind of Christ so you can think like I think, so you can do what I do. They looked at him and said, Lord, how are we going to do these things? He said, you can do these and even greater if you think like me. And that's where we divide. We start thinking like us. I ain't feeding them, you know. I ain't giving them. He said, that's what I do. That's what I do. He said, this is what real salvation looks like. It's the feeding of widows and taking in of orphans. This is what real Christianity looks like. This is how servants operate. And he's saying wisdom. Look at it. It's so simple that it's almost scary. Wisdom is shown. Remember, I told you, we're lights. We're lights. It's shown. We cannot be a camouflage ministry. We can't be closet Christians. What do you keep in the closet? All kinds of things. But one of the descriptions we use in the world when Revelation comes is people came out the closet. In other words, now we're seeing them. You know, and it ain't all about homosexuality or nothing. It's a lot of things people come out of the closet with. You know, oh, he finally came out of the closet. Okay. You know, you've been living undercover. We're not designed to be undercover. We're supposed to be on Front Street. But here's the problem. We don't like that because that reveals us. It not only reveals what we are, it reveals what we're not. And that's why the church looks like it does. Because most of us are struggling with our real identity. Here's what the Bible said. Your real self is in Christ. Y'all ain't feeling me. We're living these pretend lives when our real self is, watch this, hidden in Christ. You got to go looking for it. You got to be investigative. You got to be inquisitive. You got to be intellectual. This is a thinking man's life or woman's life. Real wisdom. And here's the rub. It's a dynamic to that. Simpler way to put it, that smart people make stuff happen. Here's how Paul looks at it. Paul said, I don't want them to be ignorant concerning the things of God. Paul said, y'all can be smart about anything you want to be. He said, I ain't got no problem with you being a businessman, a owner, a sorority person. He said, but my issue is that you don't drop the ball by being ignorant concerning the things of God. We need contractors. We need plumbers and builders, and we need all of them people. But when it comes to God, here's what he said. If you put me first, I'll make all that other stuff last. You won't go bankrupt. You won't have to worry about deficiency because I'm blessing what you're blessing. Remember I told you a long time ago, we don't have to pray for God to bless what we're doing. Let's just do what he blessing. That's so easy. And God said, when you got me first, man, I got all the other stuff covered. You're so busy taking care of me that I'll be taking care of you. We reverse it, though. We get selfish. I got to do what I got to do. I can't tell you how many people have walked out of this ministry with that attitude. You know, I don't understand. I can't just be coming up here. I got things I got to do. And they'll be doing it for the rest of their life and miserable. There will be no peace apart from him. He said that. He said, you ain't gonna have, you gonna never have no peace apart from me. You got nothing. That's why a lot of us die poor and leave no legacy for our children. A blessed life is exampled in what David ended up doing for Mephibosheth. Because he said he's entitled to this. His granddaddy might have messed it up, but he's entitled to this. And that's why some of us get all jacked up because We're so concerned about having it, we don't realize that God will provide. God will bless you out of a legacy that you knew nothing about. Somebody will call you to the court. How many of you ever picked up the paper that every couple of times a year they do this thing where they put a list in the paper about unclaimed money or unclaimed, and people don't even realize that they got stuff. I told y'all a few weeks ago about the little money I had from Delta Dental. It ain't but a few dollars, you know, but it still is mine. 40-something dollars, I'll take it. You know, and so wisdom, how are we going to be the intellectual, inspirational church, the investigative church, if our heads are empty? And when people look on us, they're looking for the mind of Christ. To speak as oracles of God, you got to know the language. You got to know the language. That's, see, that, again, what we've done, one of the things we've done that's crazy is we keep trying to redefine the church when the church is already defined. The blueprint is the blueprint. We keep trying to say, well, this is what we ought to be. This is what we ought to look like. No, this is what we ought to look like. This is what we ought to sound like. And so when we're looking at, all right, watch. It says, it's shown because of those who follow it. Wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. That's what Jesus said. Come follow me. See, we want to reinvent the wheel. We have come up with all kinds of stuff and how the church, how worship ought to go and who ought to sing and who ought to be in the front. He said, just do it like I do it. You don't have to come up with nothing new. I like it the way I left it. Amen. I like it when I was the center of it, when it was about me. And so we keep going thinking, well, this is what we need to do to attract young people. This is what we need to do to attract this people. And this, no. Jesus said, I've always been able to attract people. The issue is, will they stay? He asked them questions. He said, what y'all come out here for? What was y'all looking for? What was your real intention? We don't have to reinvent Christ. Christ made Christ. We just need to present him without deviations. One of my favorite movies, but it's the movie Last Holiday with Queen Latifah. And she goes to Chef Didier's restaurant. And all of these bougie people are ordering his food and want substitutions. Know this, know that. And then she comes in and sits down. Y'all seen the movie? She's all elegant, you know, got her little red dress on, her little thing. And she sits down, and the guy brings the menu. And she said, ooh, it's just, I'm going to try everything. And she orders away. And so the bougie folk, the guy go back there, you know, because they think there's something. And he's like, substitution. And so the guy brings her order in. And she's ordering this chicken with fat and fish. With this. And he said, oh, this for one table? And yeah, no substitution? No. I will prepare this one. You know, he's excited. And he goes out to meet her because she knows how to eat. No substitutions. And that's what we do to God. We order like them bougie people. But God, I want that, but I don't want that on it. And God, I'll do that, but I won't do that. We got to be like Queen. Straight off the menu. Because he knows how to put it together. He comes out and sits with her. He said, I had to come see you. And that's what we want God to do. We want God to say, I had to come see you. Because you're different. Who wouldn't want to be in the table presence of God? It's kind of like that illustration when he says, I prepared this feast. You just got to come eat it. You can't sit there and tell God, well, I do this kind of ministry, but I won't do that. I go over here with the perfumed and the cologne, but I ain't going down there with the stinky feet and they ain't got nothing. God said, well, one of the reasons I sent you to the folk that ain't got nothing, because I've given you everything. See, y'all don't see it that way. That's why God sends you to places, because I'm providing all. And see, you got slick and left at home so they wouldn't see it. God said, no, that's why I gave, take it down there. and release it. There's a certain dynamic to discipleship that we need to understand. Now, he says, watch, there are three causes to understand the true discipleship. One is you got to be this witness. This witness. You got to be this witness. You. Let me tell you why. Most of us, if we're not prepared, we don't want to be seen. If we're not prepared, we don't want to be seen. That's part of our, you know, we're not, you know, we stick our head around, well, I'll be with you in a minute. You know. But we got to understand that our real credibility is our character. Because you change your hairstyle, don't mean your character ought to change. Because you put on church clothes on a given Sunday, don't mean your character. No, your real credibility is your character. Because the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter what you got on, it's really who you are. The old song says, you wear it well. Well, really, dressing up don't really change you. It gives you some kind of attitude, some kind of thing. But your real character is where your credibility comes in. And at the end of the day, Christ is the model of our character. Christ-like. But see, that takes a whole lot of energy. Because we're wrestling. Paul says this, there's a warfare. And if you're not wrestling, you ain't winning. This ain't about spectators. I'm in the grind. You got to wrestle to win. You can't qualify as Romans 8. You know, you can't be a conqueror if you're a spectator. Spectators ain't conquerors. They're just watching it all. You got to get in the pit. And when you're looking at who we are, that's what he said. He said, go. You're lights. Let people see you. You know, and we spend a lot of time playing dress up. Playing a role when our real self is in Christ. Then the other thing is it takes a willingness without compromise. When you know, as I said, when you came to Christ, you didn't know nothing. You didn't, you know, some of us grew up in homes where there was a pretty good Christian foundation. I do not intend to criticize your parents or grandparents, anything like that. But this is learned life. This is learned life. And if you don't have a willingness without compromise, you're never going to get this right. You can't keep diluting this. You can't keep saying, I don't mind, but I can't be there every Wednesday. I can't be there every Thursday. That's compromise. This is about following order. This is about obedience, not option. See, we've opted the church. We've opted the church over and over again, and we've almost gotten to the point where the question could be asked, whose church is it? Because we keep doing what we think is convenient and what we don't want to labor the people too long. We weren't called to make options. You know, when Paul preached, people fell asleep and dropped dead. You know, he preached all night. Didn't nobody leave? We come to church, I don't see why we got to stay that long. And so then what we start doing is looking for the least resistance. We go to a church not so much to learn, but how quick we can leave. There are a few churches around here, their bragging point is they don't stay all day. They come in at 10, and by 11 o'clock, they're gone. They do full services that don't amount to one good learning environment. And that's what people brag about. Well, I go to such and such because they don't stay. Preacher don't keep us alone. Well, when I grew up, the kid that had to stay over was the one that wasn't getting it. And so if you ain't getting it, you had to stay longer. You didn't go quicker. Y'all don't see it. People now running around in churches to see how quick they can leave. But in fact, we need to stay longer. We need to sit there and say, no, I don't get it yet. I'm going to take me to overtime. You know, in the military, Brother Thomas, you remember, we had remedial training. If you couldn't pass the test in the first round, you said, well, you need to start going to remedial training until you get up to snuff. You had to run an extra mile. You couldn't run 2 miles in 17 minutes or less. Then you went to remedial PT. You couldn't pass your SQT test. You went to remedial SQT training. They had it in the afternoon. They inconvenience your leisure time to make it your learning time. When all the other soldiers were off at the PX and the pub drinking beer and stuff, you had to go to class. And it was sacrifice because you looked out the window and saw the rest of them sitting around at the picnic table. And you said to yourself, man, the sooner I get out of here, the sooner I can get back out there. Our problem in the church is we're just looking for convenience. We want to go to the quickest church. Well, man, they start over there at 9, and by 10 o'clock, we gone. But you're still dumb. You're still ignorant concerning the things of God, and you say you're a Christian. You don't go to your job and say, I'm just going to come in here and do this, and then I'm leaving, but I want my whole check. You get fired. And see, again, we take worldly things and make them the priority and tell God, well, you understand. The Lord knows my heart. Whoever wrote that, when they get to heaven, they're going to get a whooping. But the Lord going to say, yeah, I do know your heart, and it was bad. And so we're looking at, again, is there a willingness without compromise? And you cannot grow in the body of Christ to the fullness of Christ with an at least mentality. Okay? You can't say, well, at least I come to church, or at least I give. Well, I mean, I don't tithe, but at least I put something up there. Well, go to the AEP. Next time you get your light bill, go to AEP, walk up to the window. The bill is $235. Walk in there and give them $10 and say, well, at least I gave y'all $10. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be lighting candles. And you're going to be in arrears. And if you keep that up, eventually, do you know that it is a law in the Commonwealth and in most states that you cannot occupy a house that is not electrically supplied? You can live in there without water, but if you don't have electricity, you can't. They will make you get out. Once they'll come condemn the property because that's just crazy. You can't live without electricity. Yeah, walk into Walmart next time. Put your groceries up there and listen to the little beep thing. And when it finished, say, well, at least I gave y'all $10. They're gonna say, well, you need to start putting some stuff back. And the person behind you going to go, oh, Jesus Christ, I got in the wrong line. Yeah. That's why I go to self-checkout. I always go to self-checkout. I can't do it no more. So my point is simply this. Why are we compromised? Here's a God who says, I'll give you all the power. Listen to this. God said this. That which you see me do, you can do greater. Why would you want to do less? Don't you want to see blind folks? See, don't you want the lame to walk? Don't you want your ministry? Don't you want your church to be packed? That's God's stuff. We say to God, I can't do all that. At least. Compromise leads to catastrophe. Ask the families of those who own a space shuttle when that one technician forgot to check those O-rings. One O-ring. It wasn't checked. And that's what they went back and looked at on Challenger. They went back, and the guy with the checklist forgot the O-ring. He thought because they were new that they would be all right. He compromised. And we had Challenger. Then when the next one blew up, it was the tiles. Again, they went back and checked. The guy who was supposed to do the certification on the tiles didn't do it because he said they'd worked before. We never had a problem. And one loose tile, it's amazing how when you do investigations, you find one loose tile caused another one to come loose and another one to come loose. And before you know it, the thing incinerated one tile. Compromise is always about catastrophe. Hindenburg, Titanic. That guy was on the watch on the Titanic. The story is told. He saw the iceberg. He thought that the captain thought, and everybody thought somebody else thought the same thing and saw the same. It was his job to announce iceberg. He thought, well, they got to see it. It's right there. He figured they got. I see it. They see it. No, your job is to stand up there and do this. And when you see something, say something. And because he figured, well, he watching. He everybody dropped the ball, and people died. And in the church, it has been our history of compromise, telling little children, well, you don't have to go to Sunday school. Telling ourselves, I ain't got to go every Sunday, and look what's happening to us. And now the world doesn't respect the church. They don't want to hear nothing from us. They don't care nothing about us. We have a sitting president for the first time in the history of the presidency has not made church. He hadn't made his presence in church yet. Every president, the first week they're in the office, go to church, and they do the camera op. The folk, did you see this one do that? He has no religious people on his council. He has no Christians. Didn't even invite them. Don't you see spiritual wickedness in high place? This book is absolute. This is what my pastor said. Reading this ought to scare the hell out of you. And he's right. It'll scare the hell out of you. You say, well, I won't be going there. Compromise is bad for all of us. And then the last piece, and we'll move on because somebody told me that I got to finish on time, is that we have to understand that we got to work. Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. But the works are not the works unless they're his works. Here's what Jesus says. I got to work the work of him that sent me. All of us have been sent. When Peter talks about calling and election and vocation, that's sent work. In other words, God is my priority. This is what I've been sent here to do. Sent work, which means you're under orders, which means you're under obligation. Which means you cannot be opportunistic in your sent work. It ain't no feel like it ministry. It ain't no when I get time. What's left over? I may run down to church. I don't know. Sent work is about sacrifice. You know, when I was younger, God bless my grandmother and them old. I thought they owned the church. I thought my grandma and them had title to the church. She said, come on. I got to go down to the church. Y'all come on. When she had to go, we had to go. We'd be out there playing with our friends. And grandma was sending one spy. We always had, you know, everybody got that one cousin that's a lap dog. She'd send him down there and say, grandma said, we got to go to the church. And our friends thought, y'all got to go to the church. And we'd be mad as wet hens. And we march on back up. And we get there. She says, y'all got a problem? Fix your face. Y'all remember that line? Fix your. Because we look in some kind of way like we finna revolt. Grandma said, y'all got a problem? No, ma'am. She said, don't sound like it. She said, put a little more love in that no, ma'am. No, ma'am. She said, all right, let's go. And I told y'all, my grandmother didn't drive but Saturday. We walked. Just like we did on Sunday. She said, all right, let's go. I got to be there. She said, y'all come on. And then you get the dragon. You know, she's a little portly little lady. So if she was out front, you can't fall behind. She said, don't y'all make me come back there. Walk with some purpose. And people would see us like ducks and say, Sister Williams, you're on your way down to church. Yeah, honey, how your mama and them doing? Praise the Lord. And we got to keep walking like little soldiers. And we get to the church, she said, now y'all sit right here while I do what I got to do. And she did. If she was on the dressing committee that day, or if she had to do the windows, she said, y'all sit right here. That was the word, cheer. And we did. We sit right there. And wiggle our little feet. And she'd be back there humming. But we didn't have no choice. She said, y'all want to go down to the church? Because you know we'd have said, no. But it was in that environment that we knew. We in the house of God. We didn't run around the church. We didn't bother nothing. We knew where we were. And you can't keep compromise and opting out and think your children, where the next generation of Christians going to come from? If we keep telling you, you ain't got to, I'm going to let them make their own choice. You know fools don't never make good choices. And who don't know children fools? We were one. How many of you remember somebody telling you how foolish you were? And they were right. Yeah. Y'all just as foolish as the day is long. How long is the day? 24 hours. Yeah, we 24 fools. But we got wiser because we did what Luke 7 says. Wisdom came because we were in the environment to become wise. And so then our works, because we had the light of day against us. How many of you have ever started a project early and as it started to get dark, you got a little anxious? You say, man, I got to finish. Man, it's getting late. Because you know tomorrow you got new stuff to do. And at the end of the day, I told you this before, at the end of the day, you really ought to do an accountability, a reconciliation of things. You ought to say, okay, got that done, you know. Every brother ought to have a wife that's strong enough to give out the honey-do list. Because otherwise, we ain't going to do nothing. Brothers, y'all know I'm right. You sisters don't write it down and hold us to it, we ain't going to do it. The garage, we'll never get another car in there. The shutter going to fall off the house. Old Buick one day ain't going to start because the check engine light been on and we saw it. We just figured, eh. Here's a commercial at Advanced Auto where the guy's in the Advanced Auto parts store and the man tells him why the check engine light was on and it was something simple. And he said, that's been on. And the lady said, I thought you said it came on yesterday. He said, I could have been in here. I thought you said it came on yesterday. And he's like, God has given us these orders. We can't keep saying, well, Lord, I'll get around to it. I told you before when I was in the military, Sergeant Morton actually was the first one I saw do it. He made a little disc. He cut it out of some good solid paper and wrote on it, round to it. So when somebody would say, get around to it, he said, well, here's your round to it. So now you ain't got to get one. He said, get it done. He had a stack of them on his desk. You know, people say, well, Sergeant, how to get around to it? He said, hey, come here. And they go, he said, here's your round to it. Now go, let's get it done. So I made me something, put them on my desk. So people say, hey, Sergeant, how to get around to it? Got you covered. Here's your round to it. And they look and say, what? This is the round to it. And they go, oh, come on, Sergeant, no. Get it done. You know, in the military, everybody got little sayings, drive on, route ready, and all that kind of stuff. No, sayings don't get work done. We used to say soldiers get work done. And we're soldiers, servant, soldier, subject in the kingdom of God. Now, again, let's consider. He said, those who, let's go to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be done because I got 10:45. Matthew chapter 7. Because we're commissioned by God. Everybody. Commission. That's why you don't have to be jealous of people. That's why you don't have to be envious. Because everybody got the same equipping unto every good work. Having been thoroughly equipped unto every good work. The workmanship of God. The miraculous thing of God. Everybody's that. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, I knew you had something. You're the real somebody. You're the workmanship of God. Nobody's been cheated. How many of y'all remember being children and when they doled out the goods, you compared what size they had to what size you had? How many of y'all remember back when popsicles came two on a stick and when they broke it, if it didn't break even, you were like, he got more than me. If that thing didn't break right down the middle, we got a problem. You know, sometimes grandma's hands weren't right and somebody get the broke top half. And you look at your cousin and go, that's mine. It's uh-uh. Because once you lick it, they don't like it. And you know how we used to do that quick. Soon as you get something, you lick it. And you go, I don't want that now. And then every now and then I say, yeah, I eat it. Yeah, I don't care if you lick it. You can lick it all you want. I want mine. But we wanted it to be even, fair. And that's how God is. Nobody's got cheated. That's why you don't have to look at nobody going, you make me sick. No. We all got the same thing. He said he gave gifts to the church. Remember, we had it up there a few weeks ago from the Corinthians. He said those gifts were to help each other, to help the church. That's why nobody's in the church ungifted. All right, let's look with you. Matthew 7. Here's the blessing, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Look what it says. Wow. Isn't that something? Not everybody. Watch this. Not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but they still won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey the Father, which is in heaven. See, we done got where we can sound churchy. We make our instruments sound churchy. We make the organ churchy, the drums churchy, the atmosphere is churchy. But the real issue is, are we obedient? The commission is there. The real issue, he said, the real issue is whether or not we are obedient. Not whether we look churchy or whether we got on the right outfit on a given Sunday. That ain't the issue. Not whether or not our choir is perfect in pitch, tune, harmony, and all that kind of stuff. Whether or not the ushers look ushery because they got one hand behind their back. That ain't the issue. Because there's a way that seemeth right. And that word, that we're going to talk some more about it. If that path that you on, you may be getting blessed. Your last year's bottom line was in the black. Your children got curly hair and their teeth straight. Your house is looking good. That path, the Lord is blessing me. The Lord is blessing me right now. Right now. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. The Lord. Y'all look good doing that choir. Go ahead, choir. Is blessing me. Y'all do. I watch y'all. Y'all choirs. Y'all perform. Y'all hand parts off. But y'all hard headed. Y'all hard headed. And the issue is not whether you look religious. First Sunday, everybody got on white. Summer white. First Sunday, all of the preachers got on black tie, put their gloves on. Serving communion. Looking religious. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that joker don't come to Bible study. Got trustees standing up here receiving money that don't even tithe. Look religious. Praise the Lord. Thank you. He said that's not the issue. The determining factor will be obedience. Did you do what you were told? When I was a child, I used to try to bluff my mom and them. I would do little stuff that I wanted to do. And mama said, that's all well and good. But did you do what I told you? Huh? You know how many of y'all got me. Mama said, I appreciate all that other stuff you did. But did you do what I told you? Because I told you to get up under that bed and get all that junk out from under there. I see you done made up the bed. Got your shoes all lined up. She said, but let's look under here. And you were like, you don't do that. You remember you got a bad back, mama. Your knees hurt. Don't get down there. excuse me, you look religious. Got your tie straight. You look religious, but you ain't obedient. That's the word of God. Can I read it one more time? My time, I got 3 minutes. He said, listen, not everybody who sound religious. What good is a choir that sounds religious, but it's not obedient? What good are ushers, preachers? What good are those show people? Y'all remember Showtime at the Apollo? The old one, back in the day. Showtime at the Apollo. And what was that girl named Nikki come out there with the little thing? And the little scat man dude that come out there and get people. It was all for show. You know, most of those people were actors. They picked them because it was entertaining. They didn't want to have all scrubs up there. You remember the Gong Show with Chuck Barris? You know, most of those people were actors. They were from the Screen Actors Guild. They were paid to go on there and look stupid because it was funny. And they knew they were going to get gonged, but they got paid for it. It wasn't listen, you and I both know that if you go on a show like that and they gong you, it's going to be some fight. It's going to be just like going on Jerry. They pay them people to act stupid. You are not the father. You could have looked at the kid and knew that. You already knew that grandma to go on the show. Grandma could look at him and go, no, baby, that ain't yours. We don't need to do all that old holding the envelope and going to 3 commercials. No. We sound religious. And we put a lot of emphasis on it because we want the best choirs. We want the best preachers. We sound religious, but at the end of the day, we obedient not. Not doing what he told us. We done dressed up the church. You think God really care if we got red carpet or purple carpet? Or cushion pews or no cushion pews? You think God cares whether we march in or just file it? No. It's about obedience. Do what I told you to do. Go ye therefore and make more. Now, here's the key word, and I'll stop. We'll talk about it next week because I want to stay on the schedule. He would have never said more disciples if those were not true disciples. Because you can't make what you ain't. And there it is. That's why the church looks like this. Because those who we thought were are not. I'll read my statement and I'm done. I'm going to stay on the schedule. Here it is. Listen to this. Some of you were here the other night. You've already heard it. But I want us to all hear it. Y'all ready? Today, there are many self-proclaimed disciples within our ranks. And I added church named because I started telling you to be disciples. Okay. However, the majority of covenant is agreements. The majority of covenant members and attendees, because that's what we have. We have a lot of folk who attend that pretend, okay, are not actively engaged in a discipleship relationship. Example given, discipling someone or being discipled by someone. In the 20 years I've been the pastor of this church, there are still some folk who have never afforded me an opportunity to disciple them. They won't come to Bible study. They won't come to nothing. They may come to church, maybe. So they're not going to be disciple. And most of us, when we leave here, we're not going to disciple nobody. We're going to Olive Garden or Logan's or Outback and eat, and then we're going home. We're not going to even go to our cousin who living a life of degradation, living in sin, and we won't even say nothing. We'll go down to the picnic and sit there with everybody and laugh and grin on Saturday and not even say, listen, y'all come go to church with me tomorrow. Our cousins come from out of town. I think it's a reunion of one of these classes from way back in the day going on. Deacon Davis told me about it. And a lot of them folk, you know, we see them and don't see them or whatever. And instead of saying, come on, go to church with me tomorrow, they say they're having service down there. Okay, fine, but I'm not going to abandon my responsibility. I got to be at my church. I'll see y'all after this. To disciple a person requires that we have been discipled. Okay, how many of you cook? Okay. How many of you have ever gone to somebody and said, ooh, give me that recipe? Because it was like something to them. And you said, okay, and they said, well, all right. And a good recipe renderer will say, now listen, pay attention to this. Don't miss this step. Or be careful right here. So you write it just like they give it to you. Or it don't turn out right. How many of you ever tried it, didn't turn out right, and you called and said, something wasn't right. And they said, well, what'd you do? And you tell them, they say, no, oh, that's what, you know, come on. We cannot make disciples from them who have not been made disciples. Remember, I told you a long time ago that imitation is limitation. You don't imitate being a disciple. You get the real deal. All right? He said, many of our covenant members, many of those folk who come, are not being discipled. Now watch this. If we believe, and I'll be done right on time. If we believe, pay attention now. If we believe that God's word is authoritative and thus to be submitted to, watch this, and obeyed. Three keys. Now, if we believe that, you got to believe. If it's authoritative, you got to submit to it and you got to obey. You got to believe that. If in fact, watch this, he says, and not merely known. Bless you, my friend. Good to see you. Not merely known. Because some of us think I know the Bible. Had some disciples some years ago, some members really, that's what they're going to tell me. I said, well, y'all don't ever come to Bible study. I know the Bible. I don't have to come to Bible study. Yes, you do. Because knowing and knowing ain't the same thing. I know stuff that I don't really know, you know. All right, watch this, and not merely know. So let watch this. If in fact we believe, do we believe that? Do we believe that? Now here's what y'all missed just now. When I asked that question, not everybody raised their hand. And see, some of you are thinking, well, I'm here. No, I just told you. Just because you attend don't mean you in. See, it's the little things. How many of y'all ever heard your mama and grandma? It's the little things that y'all don't do. I asked a simple question based on your doctrinal beliefs. And some of y'all didn't raise your hand. You just sitting there looking at me because you know you done took that attitude already. Here he go. That's why I'm here. God didn't send me here to be y'all buddy. I'm a pastor. My problem is I try to be y'all buddy, thinking it'll make me a better pastor. I realize now that that's a mistake. I'm not a mean person, but I can't be your buddy. Because then you start getting familiar with me. And you start thinking, oh, y'all don't really know how he is. He don't mean it. Yeah, I mean it. Don't need you to explain me. Come on, it's right here. Watch what it says. I'm done. I'm over my time. I'll fix it. He says this. He says, all right, then if we believe that God's word is authoritative, to be submitted to and obeyed and not merely known. Watch this. Then we must face the reality that if our self-proclaimed disciples are not actively making disciples as Jesus commanded, he didn't option that, then we must admit if they're not doing that, if they're not doing as Jesus commanded, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, then we are quite possibly not disciples at all. Watch this, last point. If disciples are to make disciples, and we're not doing that, then we must reevaluate our own commitment to follow Christ. That means all of us need to go sit down in a little corner and ask ourselves some serious questions. First thing you ought to ask yourself, and this is, again, my intentions are pure. First thing you really ought to ask yourself is, do I belong to Brookville or do I belong to God? That's first. Because it doesn't matter what church you belong to, you don't get into heaven based on church affiliation. That's why you don't need to keep changing churches. You need to change you. Because you must belong to him without compromise. Here's what he said. And I told a Thursday night crew, I did some research on these people. They're pretty solid. We must reevaluate, which means we need to really sit down and think this thing over. And be honest with ourselves and answer the first three questions. Do we really believe? Because if all we're doing is coming to church, we're going to hell straight out of church. Yeah, we're going to leave church and go to hell. Here's what he said. He didn't say, come unto the church. He said, come unto me. See, we made the main thing, the hard thing. Let's just follow the blueprint. Let's follow the path, and we'll talk about the path today. Just do it like he said. He says, come unto me. So let's quit trying to promote and push people first into the church. Let's push them into Christ. Push them in. Don't spend another day of your life trying to convince people to come to church with you. Convince them to follow Christ with you. And be convincing that you are following Christ. Okay, here we go. Now we get. See, you got to sit down and say, "Well, am I? If I believe." Now, again, we talked about this before, and I'm done. I really don't mean to do this. We got to realize and be in truth to ourselves about, well, what do we believe? Why do we believe? When did I believe? Because don't think because when we do your final obituary, we write on there, join the church at an early age, that meant you believed. Amen. I can tell you something right now, looking at y'all faces, amen, some of the stuff we've been talking about and that we're going to talk about, you wrestle with that. When I was talking earlier about no compromise, when I was talking about commitments and understanding responsibility to be responsive to the Word of God, some of us were way up in the ceiling. Because we got to look at ourselves and say, wait a minute. That's heavy, Pastor. Was I really supposed to be doing that? How many of you have ever done something and about three quarters of the way through realized you were doing the wrong thing? Or doing it wrong? And then somebody came along and said, what are you doing? I'm not. Said, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. And you were doing it well. You were putting the lime in the coconut and everything was all right. And they said, you do know that.